Hey there, this is Carrie Schaefer, also known as author Carrie Ann King, and you are listening to Tell Me Your Secrets, where I get to take you off the page with the people who make the books we all love to read. Tell Me Your Secrets is produced from live stream video and is owned and copyrighted by Authors on the Air Global Radio Broadcasting Network. Hey everybody, Carrie Ann King here for another edition of Tell Me Your Secrets, where I get to take you live with another brilliant author that I am so excited to talk to today. Before I do that, I just do want to mention to you that I would love it if you are watching here on Facebook and would take a second to like the page, maybe even leave a review if you enjoy the show. That would be fantastic. And I do need to mention that Your Secrets is copyrighted by Authors on the Air Global Radio Network. And with no further ado, I'm going to tell you a little bit about today's guest. She was a First Reads author with her debut novel last year, which was called Lily in the Light, another absolutely beautiful book about a ballet dancer. Her new book, it's called A Frenzy of Sparks. I was lucky enough to read and endorse it and absolutely loved it. I think that this author has done a brilliant job of portraying the world through the eyes of a teenage girl. And so I am excited and happy and delighted to introduce to you today, Kristen Fields.
Hello.
Hi, Kristen.
Hi.
Hey, I'm good. How are you doing is what I want to know.
I'm great. I'm great. It's always like such a shock when your little book baby's out in the world, but
yeah, especially in these times. So, how many years of the experience of releasing a book on election day in the year 2020? I think there should be a club, and you should get a medal for this. I feel.
Oh, I feel like it should be nominated to the third candidate, like, because, you know, we had who we had to vote for, and then we could also just opt out completely and go for fiction. And so
yeah,
I've been calling it the third candidate.
your book makes a lot more sense in many ways. I mean, like, all the ways, really. The fictional world is more cohesive than what we're seeing in the real world right now, I think.
Completely. And it's funny because, like, I was watching, you know, like everybody was watching last night, the map and like who's winning what state and whatever. But then I'm also like watching my own charts and like seeing what's happening here. So I had a weird kinship with the two candidates too.
Yeah, we all want to win, right? I didn't even look at the charts last night. Honestly, yesterday, what I did was at 4 o'clock, I called a special meeting and I brought a bunch of people together and we did an hour of relaxation and de-stressing.
That's so smart. It's like, I told myself, okay, don't do it. Like, just know that this is going to go on for days. Like, just save yourself the anxiety. But then sure enough, like 6 o'clock, I'm watching, like I woke up, we went to sleep. I woke up in the middle of the night. I'm checking. So it's like really, it is what it is.
And it is very much exactly what we do with our books, isn't it? Have you also?
Oh, completely. Completely. It's like you can't hide from those polls and those stats. And you just want to know it. You want to make sense of it all.
Okay.
Okay.
So my internet died. And I brought us back up with a different internet that's like free in my building. So we'll see how that goes.
Sorry, everyone.
We're back. I am back. The author Carrie Ann King here with Tell Me Your Secrets and Kristen Fields. So hi. So we've been talking about the insanity of releasing a book during an election day. That said, this is a book that totally deserves to get a lot of attention. And so I'm really glad that Kristen is here today and we have an opportunity to have her talk about the book a little bit. So Kristen, can you show us those people who are here on Facebook, can you show a copy?
There it is.
Isn't that gorgeous, you guys? What a beautiful cover. A Frenzy of Sparks. Yeah. Hey, we had some people here. Annie says, welcome back. Annie's here with us. And Rena, thanks for hanging in, you guys. I know it died. So I'm using the free Datacom, and we'll see how that works for us. So hopefully it works well. Kristen, can you tell us a little bit about what your story is about?
Yeah, so Afrentia Sparks is about this young girl named Gia. She's 13 years old. She's just starting to come of age. And it's 1965 Queens. And Gia is not, you know, she's not got a lot of friends. She lives on a block with her, you know, mostly family. And so she's, her closest peers are her cousins and her brother. And Gia is a little different in that she loves nature. Like if she could, she would be out on her boat, and there's a bay right near her house, and she would be out there every day. It's like just looking at it's not enough. She wants to be in it. And she wants to just do good in a world that isn't quite open to her yet as a girl. You know, she sees the difference between like what the world is for her brother, who's only 2 years older than her, and what it is for her. And she's just not very excited about what the options are for women. And so she's kind of wishing for all kinds of change, and then finds it, unfortunately, when her older brother Ray brings drugs into the community. And that really changes things for Gia and her family and her cousins and their relationship to their community and Gia's relationship to herself ultimately. And so it's based on some true family history, unfortunately, which I wish it wasn't, but that was the inspiration.
Right. Well, and we'll talk about that in a second, but just before we move on to, you know, the family history, which is part of the secrets of the show, I guess, although you've not made a secret about it. What I loved about Gia is it's a beautiful book, but this is the strongest thing about this book, I believe, is your ability to step inside the mind of this girl who is at this point between the woman that everybody wants her to be and the child she's always been. And she's a little bit naive and she's a little bit innocent. And then there's all of these things happening that she doesn't quite understand. And she's trying so hard to figure it out and do the right thing. And you've done such a beautiful job of showing us this story through her eyes.
Yeah, she's probably, I think she's the closest character that I've yet to write, like to myself, you know, she, like, I think I relate a lot to her. I was that kid. I grew up near a bay, you know, it's almost like you interpret the bay's moods. Like, I think I used it to help me understand what was going on around me. And you're right. Like she's naive. She very much lives in her own head. She's got her own view of the world. She doesn't like what she sees. She wants to change it. She doesn't know how. But she's brave and she wants to try, you know, it may not be the right way, but
she is brave. And this may not be the right place to dive into this, but I can't help it right now. So you're saying that Gia is a lot like you and she is very brave, and Gia loves to swim and be on the water and all of that. So tell us, Kristen, how you feel about swimming in the ocean or deep, dark lakes.
Okay, so this is where like the line between me and Gia ends a little bit. Like she will jump into that bay. Like she wants to be on that boat all day long. I am actually entirely terrified of water that I cannot see through. And so like the thought of swimming in the ocean where something might touch my foot and I can't see it is like a no-no. Like I can't. And yet, like, I will do it. Like I will snorkel, I will scuba dive, but I need like a suit. Like no way would it just be like my skin in this water. That here's like a funny story for you. I did a biathlon in college. Like I signed up, I was like, I'm going to do this. It's a, you know, mile and a half, whatever it was. Right. And in my head, I thought, well, that must mean pool. Like you swim in a pool, like what else would people? So then I show up to like the location. I didn't like research very much into this. And they said it was like a mile and a half swim in the bay. And I looked at it and I'd like signed up with all my friends. I'm like, there's no way I can back out. I can't back out. But I ended up finishing second in this biathlon. Because when I got in that water, all I wanted was out, and I like swam for my life, like
really, really fast, so you could get out, right? Oh, you know, you have this. If it makes you feel any better, you have this in common with the Viking. who does not like to be in an ocean or a lake because he doesn't know what's down there. And
what's
it just
down there?
It really bothers him. Well, while we're talking about you and the Viking and the lake and water, a thing you probably do not have in common, which I also find interesting, is how you feel about boats that are not in the water. Because as you know, and as many of you know, the Viking and I have a tugboat, which we have renovated, which lives on our land very happily in a beautiful piece of our property. And Kristen says no to that. No. Just no.
That's like a secondary nightmare, possibly more than the water, because the water feels more voluntary. But I actually feel physically nauseous and so much anxiety when there's boats on land. Like seeing a boat, because I think maybe it's because like when you see a boat in the water, it's always moving. But when you see a boat on land, it's just sitting there very still. And there's something like so deeply creepy and nightmarish. But like I have had to leave places that had boats on land because it's so deeply. There's a name for it. I forget the name of it, but there's a name for that phobia.
Really? A fear of boats that are on land. I honestly hadn't heard of this before. And I'm sorry if I'm laughing. It's just, I love things that are new and different for me.
I know it's ridiculous. Like my husband teases me about it all. Like he'll point them out. Like if he sees them, just to, like get her.
That's cruel of him.
But we know it's silly. And somewhere once and we went through, I guess, a restaurant and it was on the water, but it was in the winter. And they told us to go around the side to like enter. But when we opened the gate, it was full of boats on land. And I said, no, that's it. Gotta go.
You will not want to read Sonia York's newest book, which I just read, which is called The Family Ship. And most of it happens on a boat that's on land. Yeah.
That cover is gorgeous. I love the like rope. But I didn't realize that's where it was set. So maybe that was for me.
Maybe not for you. But okay, back to, we have really digressed, but I was fascinated by this. So let's go back to something a little more serious now, which is the inspiration for this book that deals with addiction. Yeah. And really, really does portray how it changes people and ruins lives. And so that comes from a deep place for you.
Yeah. So my father was growing up at the same time that Gia was, and his older brother died of a heroin overdose. And my family did not talk about him. So I was older by the time I learned that my father had ever had a brother. I was probably, I think maybe around like Gia's age, maybe a little younger. And I couldn't understand. I couldn't understand how there had been this person as part of our story that nobody talked about. And like, what was it? You know, a lot of those questions that Gia asks herself, there's a part in the story where she doesn't even want to take aspirin because she doesn't understand like what is the line, right? Like what,
right?
Like what has made her brother Leo like so addicted, and does she have that in her too? And that was something that I grew up like wondering about as well. It's like, is it in me, right? And we didn't talk about it. And so when I decided that I always wanted to know. I wanted to know who he was. I wanted to know what happened. I felt like I had seen the fallout from it. You know, I knew that there was a lot of sadness, like in my relatives' homes, my grandparents, you know, and I didn't understand. And so I had tried to ask questions and dig around when I was younger, but they weren't ready. And It was only shortly after I wrote A Lily in the Light, and I was thinking like, what do I write next? I remember it struck me one day that like, this was the story. And I wrote my dad, I was nervous. I wrote my dad a letter. I was like, Dad, I know this is really hard for you, but this is the story. It's my history too. I need to understand it. And he was okay. He's like, okay, you know, if you have to do, I understand if you have to do it. And it was the first time that him and I ever really spoke about his childhood, and we're a lot closer now because of it. And, you know, it's funny. It's like I needed fiction to understand it. My younger sister is a counselor for people who are overcoming addiction. And so it's funny how it played out in us differently,
right?
Even though we had never met him.
Right. You know, it's interesting. Back in the day, there were things, especially, I mean, we do this sometimes now too, but it was more back then. You just didn't talk about it. You know, if something like that happened, you didn't talk about it. You just didn't talk about it.
This is the same generation that, like, they fought in World War II. They came back. They didn't talk. Anything that happened over there stayed over there. You didn't bring that unpleasant stuff into your home. You just moved on, right? And there's that, like, stoicness that went along with it. But that's not fundamentally how people work, right? Like, those emotions are going to come out in different ways. And and I was a lot like Gia. I was sensitive. I was picking up on a lot of these things that were happening, and these looks and these moods and these, like, sudden changes in the like in the atmosphere. And I couldn't understand. And this helped me to
to make some sense out of it, to process it.
I
often feel, don't you feel like fiction sometimes does that so much better than anything else? You know,
100%, you know, and I think about, like, when I learned about him, so I was born, and then when, by the time I learned about my uncle, it felt like this extremely far away thing that had happened, like, in my dad's past. But, like, when I really did the math on it, he had only passed, like, 13 years or so before I was born. And so we're not talking about, like, extremely long stretches of time. And so the fiction, you know, this was like a really, it was a difficult story to write. It was really emotional. It's been very hard for me to even let go and, like, write, move on to something else, because I get to spend so much time in these childhood memories and exploring this part of my life that's always been, like, locked for me. But this, yes, it opened it.
Right. So would you do us a huge favor and read us, like, maybe the first page of this lovely book?
Yeah, absolutely. And so page one, you will meet Gia. And
yeah, awesome.
Let's do it. All right. All right. So it's Queens, 1965. And this is A Frenzy of Sparks. The bolt slid back from the latch easily, but the doors were rusted shut. Oxidation from water on metal. The canal flooded when the moon was full and the tide was high, or when rain came on suddenly enough to flip leaves to their underbellies. That was when the water lapped over bulkheads and rolled up the street, gobbling concrete and lawns, sometimes getting as high as the front porch, where the bunny hutch sat next to her mother's tomato plants. Today, the sun was a hazy ball in the sky. There weren't any airplanes. The tarps on the new houses across the swimming canal flapped in the breeze. There were only a few minutes until her mother would ask for help before everyone came over for coffee and cake after church, as they did every Sunday. The metal door was hot beneath her foot as she tugged at the other until it sprang open, jarring her shoulder, stale musk rising as strong as when she lifted a lid off a saucepot on the stove. Gia flicked on her flashlight and took the first few steps into the cool basement air, where she'd certainly find chemicals.
Which is where it begins. She had a thing about chemicals, right? And she was out to track them down. And
that's it. She had just read Rachel Carson's Silent Spring and noticed a couple of dead sparrows in her neighborhood and was, like, convinced that what was happening in Silent Spring was happening right in her neighborhood.
Right. Which is a foreshadowing of, you know, where things went from there. So although the form that it take was never what she could have anticipated.
No, but she was onto it. And, you know, that's, like, something in Italian American culture. It's like, I always grew up hearing my grandmother say, you know, it could be something silly, like a picture falls off a wall, or, like, you walk into a room and there's some salt spilled on the table, and hearing things like, that's a sign. That's a sign, like, saying it with, like, such certainty and, like, such a, like, morbidity about it. And, you know, so for, like, a kid growing up, it's like anything unusual, it's like, well, is that a sign? Is that, like, what they're talking about? And so so she was kind of onto it, but in a different way.
Right. So you said that it's been difficult for you to move on to another to another story. Are you writing something new, or are you still in the process of figuring that out?
I am. I have a draft of this. It doesn't even have a title yet. It has one, but I'm not sure it'll stick.
I know how that is.
But it's about, it's a mother-daughter. They're effectively like they roam around the United States in an RV, conning people to make their living. And, like, her daughter is probably about the same age as Gia. She knows it's not quite right, but this is their way of life, and she doesn't know anything else. And so we start there, and then we follow her up to different stages in her life, like when she's, you know, dating and settling down, and how some of this early childhood conning follows her into her adult life too.
Well, that sounds fun. It would be fun. And a little lighter perhaps than what you've done with this one, or not so much.
I don't know if I can go light. I think I'm completely
you don't do light, do you?
It's like I have every intention, and then I sit down, I'm like, oh, this is also equally as heavy and dark.
Yeah. Although, and I do have to make this point, a lot of us are not wanting to read dark right now. And right. So I do need to make this point. There is a lot of dark in what you write, but you never lose track of the beautiful and the good, yes. And that it's still there. So it's not one of those books that you're going to read that dumps you into the depths of despair and there's no way out.
No, if anything, it's like for as much heaviness and sadness, and it's almost like a compliment to a lot of the beauty that's in the same world. And I feel like I try always in these characters to like have almost to give equal weight to both of those things. The intensity of one just intensifies the other.
Right. And you do that. I just had this thought right now. Both of your titles, even A Lily in the Light and A Frenzy of Sparks, they both kind of hint at that, the dark and the light.
Completely.
Can we know what the working title is of your new book that may not be the same, or do you not want to share? You don't have to.
I can. You know, it's funny because I usually will have a title, and then even if I don't know what the story is about, I'll work backwards from there. And sometimes it sticks and sometimes it changes along the way. This one, I'm calling it The Tea Maker's Daughter, but we will see. because that's one of their conning tricks, is that they make like medicinal teas that are not actually...
Not really.
we'll see. So I've been playing around with that one now for quite some time. So I'm hoping that,
Oh, that sounds fun. I like it. Yeah. I like it a lot. I try to write light too, and I never quite do it. Although my books is, they always have a lot of humor, and they tend to always be at least hopeful at the ending. But I tried with A Borrowed Life. I thought it was going to be kind of light. It just it went darker than I thought. It's like, her husband dies at the beginning. I didn't know that. Yeah.
But it's also like, then there's like a blanket fort on the front lawn. And so there's definitely like really beautiful, like fun balancing moments in there.
I loved the blanket fort. That was so much fun. We do have some listeners. I just want to make a point. Phyllis, thank you. Phyllis says she's enjoying the talk. Thank you very much. Rena was saying that the good balance is great. It is. I love that. And you know, Kristen does a lovely job of that. So I'm so glad that you are writing another book. Now, we need to let everybody know where they can find you.
Oh, you can find me everywhere. I'm on Instagram.
we don't want to make it like Waldo, right? So let's make it easy. Let's start with your website. Do you have a website?
I do. And it's kristenfields.com. Two I's in Kristen.
Right. And if you're listening, it's Kristen is K-R-I-S-T-I-N. Fields is F-I-E-L-D-S, like the fields.com. So that's the website. That's easy. And then on Instagram, I think you're writing Kristen. Is that right?
Uh-huh. That's it. Same for Twitter and Facebook is just my name. I didn't get creative there. So
okay. Well, when they let you have it, that's awesome. But some of us are not so lucky.
I know. I feel like I got very lucky with Kristen Fields on Facebook, but that was not taken 100 times over.
Well, it's perfect. It's a great author name. It works.
Thank you.
It's awesome. So I thank you so much for being here today and for sharing the day after election with us. During the time it went dark, we were talking about, checking the book results at the same time as, checking the election results. It's kind of the same. It's kind of like this little clandestine thing, like that you tell yourself you're not going to do. Like, I will do this all the time. I'm not going to look at my book sales today. I'm not going to look.
And then you're doing it. Like, even last night, I woke up at 3:30 in the morning. I'm like, where are we at, you know, and like looking and doing this whole round check about where the lesson is, what my book is doing. And then it was 4 a.m. before I went back to sleep.
So. Oh no. Oh, I did go to bed. I was good. But I did look when I got out of bed this morning, I will admit. So, and we're still watching, although trying not to. So again, our guest today has been Kristen Fields. The book is Frenzy of Sparks. You guys, you do want to read this book. It's just beautifully written. It's absolutely lovely. I am back again this week on Friday, but not as me, Carrie Ann King. I'll be here as Carrie Schaefer because I'm interviewing a thriller writer, Pamela Fagan Hutchins. We'll be here on Friday at 1 o'clock Pacific and 4 o'clock Eastern. So tune in then and join us. And we'll be talking about her latest thriller and her children's book that she just wrote. So in the meantime, read a good book. Thank you for spending this time with us. And, do something nice for yourself today. Do yourself a favor and try and avoid the addiction of checking things all the time.
Read, make a nice meal. Exactly. Meditate, exactly. Whatever it is.
Just right. Take a break. And then go read a good book. And starting with Kristen's.
Yeah.
Bye, everybody. Thank you.
Bye, everyone.